course, it's illegal, me old darling, but it's not criminal.
Yeah, your customers mightn't agree, Sam.
It's what I tell them that matters to the law. So long as I don't actually say the article's old, I'm okay. Show you something. Promise not to put it on TV.
Promise.
Good show that of yours, Joanna. Today's world. Here's something from yesterday's world, maybe.
Oh, a beautiful ceramic beetle. An old Egyptian scarab, still with the traces of the original blue paint. Was it part of a necklace? There are holes drilled. 2000 BC?
Last Wednesday, Joanna.
You old crook.
I made it last week. In my little old kiln here. Now, here's another one.
Oh, that's obviously new. Freshly painted, bright as a child's new toy. But the lines of the other were blurred, beautifully, as by the friction of centuries of desert sand.
Same batch. Difference being that I took the old ones down to the farm and fed them to the turkeys.
The Christmas turkeys?
Then my boy scratched the scarabs out of the turkey litter. The grinding in the bird's crop adds centuries. We call it in the trade distressing antics.
Distressing? How quaint. But is distress illegal?
Not so long as I don't claim nothing. Everything in this shop was made sometime this year. All of it by pals of mine, ex-cons. You see, they taught us trades in prison to help us when we got out. I did modelling, firing ceramics and turkey farming. Mates of mine learned carpentry, cabinet making, welding. The old firm. Class of 82. Now, here's a nice little bureau.
Ah, I think I know this kind. Doesn't it have, just here, a secret drawer? Yes! And look, Sam, the little book in it. A diary, a girl's diary. The date, 1789. In lovely old copperplate, it's even faded.
They fall for that one like a ton of bricks. Now, who's the cook, I ask myself, when the punter pushes the drawer back and says nothing? Let them find a secret drawer you didn't notice, with something nice in it they're not going to tell you about, and you can name your own price.
Ah.
I've got a room of bureaus at the farm just like this, all with diaries and secret drawers.
You make it sound quite fun, class of 82 and the rest.
I'd die before I went back inside.
Well, you made something out of it.
Hundreds don't. Prison ages you so. In a way, that gave me the idea of going into the antique trade. You hear about the prisoner's distress when he was sentenced.
Not just a figure of speech, apparently.
Prison wears you out. That's the real punishment. It ages you. It's the time stretching out. The slowness of everything, the rules, all the rules, they make you feel so old. They age you 20 years in 5. You can't move without them. When to walk, when to stand still, how to lace your shoes, lay out your clothes, time of exercise, time of association, so many minutes this, so many minutes that.
You have to think out every move in case you've broken a rule.
In prison, nothing happens of itself. Like an old man who can't trust his legs, has to think out every step, whose body has betrayed him. No, I'm not going back inside, ever. And prison's got worse. It's changing. It's got dangerous. But not in the old way, when the big villains ruled absolutely and you had to mind your P's and Q's with them. Something's happening in stir, and none of us like it. Something the government is doing.
The government is changing the prison? I've heard nothing about that.
They built these immense factory wings for canning meat. Now, instead of the old trade, you can learn how to be a butcher. Mm. And some of the prisoners disappear.
How can a person disappear in prison of all places?
Special delivery, Mr. Mellish. Heavy this one.
Ah, thanks, Jolly. Here you are, Joanna.
See you, mate.
Oh, splendid. Muzzle-loading pistol. Octagonal steel barrel. Wonderful wriggle-work engraving. style of Nelson's time. In working order, I'd say. And brand new.
Crafted in its beauty by a boy who knew nothing but motors before he got pinched for driving other people's away.
You're going to distress that lovely new pistol. What a pity.
It takes really modern equipment to add the patina of Asian romance. Now, this is a sonic device they invented for Asian wine, artificially. You drive this beam of sound vibration into your wine that was bottled yesterday, and is 20 years old in 10 minutes. The vibration seems somehow to shatter to pieces, but in wine that releases the flavours. With a bit of extra power in it, it works on antiques. I put the pistol inside, and in half a day, it'll be 2 centuries old and 10 times as romantic. They're very popular.
So long as you don't say how old it isn't. Now, about those disappearing prisoners.
The Home Secretary is aware that there are at present lodged in British prisons 43,311 convicts. But is the House aware of the charge to the nation of this prison population?
Well, no.
The average cost of maintaining a prisoner dry and warm and with sufficient food and clothing is no less than £202 per week, including maintenance of the buildings. I will save the honourable members the task of calculating the yearly cost of this to the taxpayer. It is £10,507 per year per prisoner. Now that is to say that our convicted criminals, the enemies of our society, are living at a rate far above the national average wage, and indeed at a rate that would keep your ordinary deserving family in some luxury. As a country, we are spending £455 million per year on the outcasts of our society. I would ask the Home Secretary what practical steps are being taken to reduce this load on the budget. Are radical and less expensive alternatives to prison being investigated? Weekend jail and daytime prison would immediately cut this cost and would begin to minimize this drain on our national resources.
I am able to reassure the House and the Honourable Member for East Grinstock that active steps are being taken.
That does not seem to me to be sufficient reassurance. Will the Home Secretary outline these steps?
That cannot be done at this moment in time, as the matter affects national security.
Well, Joanna, I asked your question in the House for you.
I'm beginning to smell a cover-up, Toby.
The news hound nostrils twitch. But what can you do about it? If the Home Secretary says national security nowadays, he has almost unlimited powers of concealment.
Well, there's a very nasty smell here. What could be going on inside the prisons that frightens so my old grass Sam Mellish? And whatever could make it a high security risk into the bargain? I'm beginning to remember the Nazis. The medical experiments in the concentration camps? Why turn prisons into factories for canning meat?
Well, Joe, I know. I really don't think...
No, it's not impossible. The Americans have used prisoners as guinea pigs and worse before this. In exchange for permission to experiment, they get remission of sentence or parole. Organize that and you've got Auschwitz all over again. Sam tells me that long-term prisoners are disappearing out of the prisons by some kind of arrangement with the authorities. They're called into the governor's office and are never heard of again. Then their families move and turn up somewhere else where they're not known and buy a bright new bungalow as if they've suddenly come into money. But the offender himself, he never turns up.
They've relocated him in exchange for information to get him away from possible revenge.
Yes, but what happens to him? And is ordinary police information a matter of national security?
I've told you, Joanna, there's nothing I can do.
But I can. I can put it on TV. What use is an investigative program like Today's World if it doesn't alert its viewers to dangerous trends in society?
Well, I'll have you in stir yourself very promptly if you break national security.
Well, that's a risk I'll have to take. No government is above the law. But supposing they're infecting prisoners with terrible diseases in exchange for privileges? Or experimenting with forms of radiation?
Oh, really, Joanne?
It could be recombinant DNA work, cloning, the invention of new germs using human hereditary material, anything. In a democracy, we have a right to know.
I love you in this formidable mood, Joanna. I wish we'd married after all.
Oh, yes. And me fully occupied in bringing up little parliamentary candidates. Look, Toby, I've had my own TV program 2 years now, and I reckon it's done some good. Children can wait.
Can they? Really? Well, sometimes I think the whole world is like children squabbling. Nursery politics.
That's no way to think of the electorate. My public's a strong, faithful animal. Slow-moving, maybe, but in its wrath and its love, terrible. An elephant, maybe.
No, its memory is too short. Sometimes it seems like a kind of snake that swallows you and squeezes you out of shape.
You're getting cynical, Toby. But I'm not. I'm going to do something. First move, I'm going to visit one of those resettled prisoners' families. But I still can't understand about those canning factories.
Yeah?
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Pettit. We haven't met, but,
My husband's not here.
It's you I wanted to talk to.
I know you are. Joanna Prim, from the telly. Ron and me, we always watch on Saturdays. You look different somehow. We're not on the telly now, are we?
No, Mrs. Pettit, this isn't game for a laugh.
Oh, that's a relief, anyhow.
Can I come in for a moment?
Oh, yes, of course you can. Please give the state the house is in. Come into the front room. Our, well, Grandad's watching the telly, but you won't mind, will you? I'll turn the sound off. He'll be quite happy watching the pictures. Makes no difference to him. He doesn't really care whether it's on or off. But it's such a business moving him since he can't help himself.
Oh, no, Mrs. Pettit, please. The kitchen will be fine.
Well, I'll put the kettle on. Would you like a sandwich? I've got a new kind of canned meat here. It's very nice.
Well, that's why I want to tell the story on television, from the family's point of view.
I see. You mean he wouldn't come into it?
He's still inside, of course.
Well, yes, I know, but...
Which prison is it?
Well, he's not exactly in prison.
Where is he, then?
No, not exactly. It's,
secret?
Sort of. Experimental.
How do you mean experimental?
I mustn't say.
Where is your husband, Mrs. Pettit?
I signed a paper. They said I'd be in jail 10 years if I told. I can't do that. Who'd look after Grandad? You're asking the impossible. I think you'd better go now, Miss Prim.
It's a very nice house you've got here, Mrs. Pettit. Who's paying? All the bullion was recovered. What do you live on now, Mrs. Pettit?
There was an arrangement. Please go. Please go now. Ron?
Yeah, what is it, love? I'm watching the boxing. Hey?
Well, I never, Joanna Prim. Hey. Hey, Peg, you've not been talking to her. She's the woman on Today's World.
This is my friend, Ron, Miss Prim. He wants you to leave. Now.
Then leave I shall. What have you got for me, Sam?
Well, the word is that the big boys are getting restive. They want to know what's going on, too. They like the prisons to be predictable. After all, a lot of their boys live there, and they like them to do time in reasonable comfort. Mm. But suddenly the prisons have become restive and unsettled, and nobody knows quite why. I was told that we'd get some quiet help if we wanted to find out.
Well, that's good news. It's the two unexplained things together that worry everybody, I suppose.
There's nothing a con dislikes more than feeling he's being conned. It's against the natural order of things. Firstly, the disappearing prisoners. Nobody knows what happens after that summons into the governor's office.
Mm.
The con's never seen again. His things are quietly collected from his cell.
And the other thing is those canning wings built onto the prisons. It's a bit gruesome, but I don't actually see anything wrong with that. After all, you can learn carpentry inside. This is simply another trade to help you when you get out. How to cut up meat, how to be a butcher, how to work a canning machine.
It feels wrong.
Why?
Well, they bring in outsiders for part of the process.
Outsiders?
There's some kind of inner room where the meat is actually killed. It's forbidden for cons to go in there, and sections of carcass are passed out. There's something not quite right about the carcasses either.
What sort of something?
Well, they're sort of even, all the same, standard. No legs or heads or haunches, just ribs and backs, shoulders, bellies, just torsos. And nobody's ever seen live cattle delivered. Only lorries with sacks of chemicals. The cons have made a whole lot of jokes about it. And this means they're really worried.
Jokes for survival.
Exactly. They say that doing time has got so expensive that the taxpayer's going to have to save money by canning and eating the convicts.
Oh, dear.
They say that the judge in future is going to give you your sentence not in years, but in hands and finger joints. And for very serious offences, they'll take an arm or leg, or even two legs. And that helps security, you see, since you can't run away if they've eaten your legs. And they say that if you make that deal with the governor, they take the whole of you and turn you into pet food neatly canned. There's more.
More to worry about?
Yep. If it's just a canning factory and slaughterhouse, why do they need radioactivity?
What?
There are red radiation danger signs and special airlocks and people going about in white radiation suits with helmets and all. Then there's Dracula in white.
Dracula in white?
That's what they call him. He visits all the time with his white coat on or his radiation suit. Dr. Something White, a big wheel in science. They don't like him one bit.
You don't mean Exeter White? Dr. Exeter White?
That's him. Do you know him?
Of course I know him. He's been on Today's World. He's a very big wheel indeed. I gave him a rough time in the interview. He's a fanatic about preparing for nuclear war. He's the only man in recent years to win two Nobel Prizes. One was for medicine in tissue culture and cancer research. The other was for physics for inventing a nuclear resonance device that shrinks cancerous tissue. Whatever would he have to do with prisons? Sam, there's only one thing for it.
What's that?
We'll have to break into prison.
When he comes to the visitor's room, just give your form to the screw there. When he sees that it's blank, he'll know what to do.
So the big boys have the screws in their pay.
The big boys have everybody in their pay.
Your visitor's forms, please. Ah, I see. Why, hello, Sam.
Hello, Mr. Preston. All right, are you?
Oh, very good, thanks. This way for you and the lady. But have a bit of a wait.
A broom cupboard.
It's quite roomy, miss. I'll put some clean blankets over there on the shelf for you. Good luck.
Thanks, Mr. Preston.
We're locked in. Oh, God, Sam, I'm glad you brought a torch.
We might as well make ourselves comfortable. Somebody will come back after midnight and let us out. We'll not see him, and we're not to speak until we're well away from the main cell area.
What?
Yeah. Shh. Now, I've got a map and a copy of the master key. The factory room's not far, and once out of this cupboard, we've got to be absolutely quiet until we reach it. It's the screw's gong room. Quick, into the cell. It's empty. All clear.
I'm glad I don't do this for a living. My heart nearly stopped that time.
This is the door to the factory wing. Once inside, we can move about and talk freely and put the lights on. It's soundproof and there are no windows. That's better.
What a strange place after the grey prison. Spotless. Glaring white tiles and shining stainless steel.
Yeah.
A broad production line table of steel rollers from a hatch in one wall to a hatch in the other. A chain conveyor with hooks overhead. Yeah. Halfway along, the rollers disappear into machinery, protected by heavy-duty polythene. Lift up the flap, Sam. Let's see what's inside. Great knives in wheels, like a zodiac of sabers. It's like a car wash, Sam.
Yeah.
Look up there, great sprinklers for water.
I reckon they have to hose the place down frequently enough. You'll hook up the carcass and roll it along to the canning machinery.
So it must come out of this far wall, out of the hatch with a great padlock on it. Sam, we have to get into the room behind that hatch.
No problem. Here's the door.
With a radiation sign on it.
None of the cons get further than this door. Not they want to.
Open it, Sam. It's very like the outer room. A bit more complicated. Table of rollers again, leading from the padlocked hatch. Conveyor chain above with hooks.
Must make a hell of a row in here with that killing. No wonder the wing is soundproofed. Joanna?
Yes, I know. The production line should start with a cattle pen.
They drive the animals into a pen and stun them one by one.
But there's no pen. The rollers only lead to a big machine built against the wall.
The meat must come out of the machine. Look, I don't like those radiation signs.
There are lockers over here. Radiation suits hanging up in them. Over here, showers and scrub rooms. Butchers wear white for their trade. I've never heard of them wearing white radiation suits.
I'm getting into one now. Please do the same, Joanna. Think of the future generations. I'd really prefer lead underpants.
I've found the control panel, Sam.
No, Joanna!
There's a switch here labelled Viewing of Culture Chamber.
For God's sake, be careful!
Let's view, shall we?
Good, I'm good. Shut it, Joanna. Shut it quick.
What in God's name is it? Gleaming and speckled, gliding, rippling, rubbing against itself. This switch says production hatch control.
What have you done, Joanna? It's coming out of the machine hatch, spinning at us along the rollers. All spotted as big as a tree.
Hello. That's back it up with that. Jane Glaze Cooper, shut off the resonator. That's better. Well, well, Joanna Prim. We don't want to wake up the whole prison, do we?
Dr. Exeter White.
As they say, we meet again.
Dracula in white?
It's a while since we met on your program, Miss Prim. I can't say that I enjoyed the experience.
The world has honored you, Dr. Exeter White. I thought then that your ideas were pernicious, and I still do. My opinion is confirmed by what I see now.
Why, what's the harm, Miss Prim? I think that in the last resort our country will thank me for what I have achieved here.
I can't think that the public will approve of what you're doing here, Dr. Exeter White.
Mm-hmm.
And I intend telling them about it.
Please be careful, Joanna. He's got two security men with him, and they look like killers to me.
Now, I hope you won't tell, Miss Prim. That would mean prison for you. This is an official secret. It would be treason to reveal it. Besides, I doubt whether you really understand what I'm doing for the sake of Britain among the British prisons.
Official secret? Why, it's quite obvious from your work on radiation and cancer what you're doing here. You've taken human tissue from those unfortunate prisoners that have disappeared, and you've irradiated it with your famous resonator in some manner that stimulates it instead of shrinking it. Stimulates its growth enormously in your machine, and you're canning the cancer you've made, and you plan to sell it off as food to offset prison costs.
Oh, that's marvellous. Oh, that is simply wonderful. What a mind you have, Joanna, canned cancer. Oh, dear, it's really very funny. You've created a world of terror out of your own television mind. Canned cancer. Isn't that rich, Strangeways Cooper?
Well, tell me then. Tell me what you're doing here so I can believe the evidence of my own eyes. Perhaps I'll laugh then.
Well, in the first place, it has nothing to do with the disappearing prisoners. You have my word on that.
I may believe you when I've heard the rest.
And in the second place, it has nothing to do with human tissue, cancerous or otherwise. Use your eyes, your famous TV investigator eyes. Look again at what came out of the production hatch and now lies still on the rollers, ready for processing. Tell me what it really looks like.
I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure, Sam.
Perhaps your ears will help your eyes. What does it sound like? Cooper, please turn on the activation switch again.
A great snake. A great mottled, killy snake. Thrusting and pouring its coils out of the resonator. Rearing up and hissing. Hissing like a scream.
That's it, Joanna. You have it. Snake. We cultivate snake tissue here in enormous quantities. It turns out to be delicious. Like very tender chicken. That's enough. We guillotine it in lengths and skin it and pass it out to the other room to be variously cut up and the bones removed before it is minced or sliced and canned.
It comes out alive, right?
Yes, we cut it into sections and the sections are alive but weaken rapidly out of the machine. We electrocute them and crush the spine to make sure they're dead. Each section has a heart and liver and lights, inside muscular ribs, but of course no head or loins. It's just torso. But otherwise a perfectly ordinary carcass, which has to be butchered in the usual way before canning. It's slightly radioactive as it emerges, but that wears off very quickly. Hence the radiation signs.
I see. You make snake. Continuous snake. Endless snake.
That's it. You have it. Endless snake. You see, there's nothing so terrible about it after all.
Okay. Then why the official secret?
Now, that is just the one unpleasant thing about the whole business.
I knew there was a catch.
If the bomb drops, if there is a nuclear holocaust, it is exceedingly likely that with the breakdown of all services, there will be a shortage of food and even a danger of cannibalism. To forestall this, the government are stockpiling enormous quantities of food in various underground depots all over the country. This must be kept secret. But if we started importing exceptional quantities of cattle meat, questions would be asked. But with my resonator, and with tissue culture, we can manufacture extraordinary quantities of delicious high-protein meat out of simple chemicals, at minimal cost and without attracting notice. Until you stepped in. But now you understand that there's no harm and no cruelty in what I'm doing. It's all right again, isn't it?
You're forgetting our confrontation on today's world.
Oh, I bear no grudge.
I dare say. But I don't believe in preparing for the bomb.
That's what we're round about.
I still hold to it. I don't believe that we should make it at all easier for people to accept the possibility of a nuclear war with shelters for privileged people and caches of food and a new beginning promised. It won't be like that. It'll be total desolation and the death of the world. So the bomb should not even be a possibility on people's minds. That's why I'm going to tell the public about your scheme, Official Secrets Act or not. I haven't signed any paper. I've not agreed to keep anything quiet. I'm going on television to tell it as it is.
I must remind you that you have broken into the enclosed premises, the property of Her Majesty's Home Office.
So, book me for breaking and entering.
Then sadly, you leave me no choice. No choice at all. Strangeways and Cooper will help. They're used to such little problems. Turn on the guillotine, Cooper. Strangeways! And then the mincer outside. Don't turn on the canning machinery. It's too noisy.
You can't disappear me, Exeter White. People know me. And you'll have to catch me, sir.
Strangeways, Cooper, hit it off. Don't let her open the outer door. She'll wake up the whole prison. And all chance of secrecy is lost.
But I've got the man.
Ah, have you? Well, Sam, we can disappear you.
You killed Sam. You killed him in your sleep. Oh, I'll get you for this. I'll turn on all your machines and fling the doors wide so that the uproar fills the whole prison, fills all England with its noise. Here's the candle switch.
Sandwich! Go back, quick! He's got to the door!
It's too late!
Just a minute, young lady. I think you'd better come along with me.
I have consented to hear this case in camera under the special regulations and without jury in the strictest security and with the exclusion of both public and press. This is because of the considerations of national security that are deeply entwined with the events of this prisoner's crime. It has been shown, to the satisfaction of this bench, that the prisoner, Joanna Mary Prim, has used her influential position in the public eye not only to commit murder, but also with the intention of forcing Her Majesty's government to make revelations of policy, not in the public interest. Fortunately, in the latter purpose, she has failed. Security in Dr. Exeter White's important scheme is unbreached. However, the prisoner succeeded in her other purpose, which was the cold-blooded killing of her blackmailer, the ex-convict and antique dealer, Samuel Mellish. The defense alleges that the letters which show that Sam Mellish was blackmailing the defendant are forged. Expert testimony declares that they are genuine. Moreover, one of our most eminent scientists, Dr. Exeter White, a man of unimpeachable international reputation and a double Nobel Prize winner, has told us that he saw the deceased pushed into the meat-cutting machine by the prisoner. Dr. Exeter White's testimony is supported by the two security officers who were present also. I have no alternative but to accept the prosecution's case that the prisoner used her position in public life to gain access to meat-packing machinery where the disappearance of her friend would not be noticed, and that she was, at one and the same time, planning to reveal the existence of secret food depots on television for the enhancement of her personal career. This is the opinion of my learned colleagues on the bench. Also, the crime is a double one. Murder and treason. Prisoner at the bar, have you anything to say before sentence is passed?
I have told you it's a lie. It's a put-up job. There is no way you can prevent me telling my story to the public.
Fortunately, there is. I sentence you to two terms of jail to run consecutively. 20 years for deliberate and premeditated murder, and 20 years for actions damaging to the security of Her Majesty's realm. Your sentence to be served incommunicado and in solitary confinement in a high-security prison.
High security? Escapes are not unknown. You may think you're walling me up in stone for 40 years, but governments fall. New governments declare amnesties on political prisoners. For that is what I am. Make no mistake. I'm still young and full of fight. Even if I'm an old woman when I come out, I can still tell my story.
The world may well be at peace by then, and if it is, your story will signify little. But if it is still at loggerheads or at war, telling your story would be another act of treason, for which you could be prosecuted to serve another term for as many times as would be necessary to silence you. There is no escape or amnesty for a criminal of your kind. Take her away.
You will polish your cell twice a day and the corridor outside until it is shiny. You will fold the polishing cloth exactly into four with even margins. You will make an even number of strokes with the cleaning instrument to the left and to the right as you polish, thus, left, right, calling out left, right as you do so. You will then rinse out the polishing cloth and leave it to dry properly folded. The water is turned off at 8:30 a.m. exactly. You will complete your ablutions, your cleaning of the cell, and your polishing by then, or there will be withdrawal of privileges.
What privileges? I have no privileges.
There will be no books. No cocoa at night.
Miss Spooner, can you please have the light turned off at night? I can't sleep.
Switching to the red nightlight is a privilege.
I want darkness. I want darkness.
Darkness is a privilege.
Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
Friend, there's left. A visitor for you.
A visitor? I'm not allowed visitors. Visits are a privilege. Dracula in white.
You must be settling into prison if you call me by that name.
How many others have you put into prison with your lies?
Strangely enough, Joanna, you are the only one.
My friends will get you. They'll create a scandal.
Your friends were grieving very beautifully at your funeral, Joanna.
What?
You were buried amid much sorrow last month. An unfortunate motorway accident speeding to the studio. Cooper and Strangeways enjoy arranging little accidents. Everybody thinks you're dead, Joanna.
You think you've got me?
Well, I have, haven't I? There is a way out.
A way out?
Where is your television reporter's curiosity? Don't you want the whole story?
You mean the disappearing prisoners?
It's what got you here in the first place. Now at least you can learn the answer.
The governor's door will close on me and I'll never be heard of again. Is it some kind of invitation to self-execution? I tell you now, I'm not going to kill myself.
No, no, it's much more of a gamble. You agree to submit to some experimental research. If it succeeds, you live. The authorities cancel your prison sentence, and because they no longer have to pay your bed and board, they give you a lump sum. You can invest the sum, or bequeath it, or simply spend it. The scheme's in its experimental phase, so the terms are generous. Later on, most people sent to prison may be offered similar terms, on a less generous scale, of course. It's a kind of redundancy scheme.
Made redundant by society.
Exactly. You see, Joanna, I'm not an evil man. I was forced into those lies to protect my work. You can trust me. Now you understand what I'm doing.
I haven't anybody else left to trust. And I do want to know. Can you tell me anything more about the program, Governor?
I've told you as much as I can. Are the financial arrangements clear? Would you like to sign now? You'll be taken straight to Dr. Exeter White's clinic without going back to your cell.
That suits me. I'll sign.
No, no, it's not painful. We're still learning. The nuclear resonator has to be modified from time to time, but there never was any pain.
It's your resonator? That made the meat grow in the machine.
Now, please don't be alarmed. Straps here. A little tighter. Yes, my resonator, my one triumph, my one discovery. In my life, Joanna, I've only told one lie, and that was yours, and made only one discovery, and that will be yours, too. You said that prison makes the prisoner old, and that's the real punishment.
So
so old and tired. So many years to go.
You have to serve your sentence, but why spend all those years doing it? My resonator will help you.
You're not going to turn me into food.
No, no, no. Always yourself, Joanna. Yourself. My resonator slows tissue growth down, and that cures cancer, or it can speed it up so that meat grows faster for food. But now I can speed up life and keep the human shape. I can speed people up.
Speed them up? They live faster? Like speed drugs?
Yes, and inside my resonator a person will age fast. So fast.
Oh.
Joanna, your terrible 40-year sentence. You will live that through in 40 seconds.
I'll be old.
Yes, but still Joanna.
That old man, the vegetable in the bungalow, was he?
Yes, he was the gold-stealing husband of the woman with the boyfriend, Ron. Not granddad at all. I aged him. Vegetable. Yes. I'm afraid that the aging process undergone so fast can make the brain capillaries rather fragile, and there is the danger of a stroke. But it may not happen in your case, my dear. And you look distressed.
Oh, distressed? Some distress the antiques.
Yes, well, that can't be helped. You're only a little bit of an antique yourself, my dear.
The enemies of our society are living at a rate far above the national average wage. I wish we'd married off.
This radiation science, Joanna. Think of the future generations. I'd really prefer it.
Don't worry about that now. Worry about that now. Worry about that now.
Watching the pictures makes no difference to him. He doesn't really care whether it's on or off. It's such a business move.
I wish we'd married off.
Children can wait.
Can they? Really? Really?
Children can wait. Children can wait. Children can wait.
My children! Oh, my children!
Dracula in White was written by Peter Redgrove, with Maggie McCarthy as Joanna and Benjamin Whitrow as Dr. Exeter White. Others in the cast, Sam, Gerald Wells, Toby MP and Cooper, Tim Meets, Ron and the Governor, John Lindstrom, Judge, Paul Nicholson, and Mrs. Pettit and the Wardress, June Barry. Other parts were played by Richard Curnow and John Lindstrom. The play was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.